The Survivor Specialists are back, and we are predicting episode number 12 of Survivor 47. I almost said recapping. I held off. I am joined today by James Jones, who has Godfather with three question marks. Who said Godfather with that many question marks? I'm referring to you, James.
I mean, that was one Owen Knight. Apparently, you said my name. It wasn't a good thing to say my name prior to saying my name and voting me out. So I guess I'll take that one. Shout out Owen
is supposed to be the guest next week, so that's a good lead-in. Hopefully he's got a rebuttal for you in his name here.
I mean, he did name me the Godfather, kind of, so he can't, it's not a rebuttal, but you know, you can't rebut the confessional. But no, I appreciate it though. At the time I was like, oh, was I doing that a lot? And then in hindsight, talking to my tribe mates, maybe.
I feel like Godfather is as much of a compliment as you can get on this season, right? Like that, or on Survivor in general, people start calling you the Godfather. Probably means you're not going to win, but it also means that they're looking at you as a massive threat, right?
I think that's like, it's like you learn to think about certain things as respect in the game, but it's hard to like do that when like I'm super competitive. So when I do turn that competitive gene on, like I don't care about like, you know, respect. When it comes to, it's like, give me a Super Bowl and like, did we just cheap shot the quarterback? Mm-hmm. I mean, we did, but however, like, I mean, like, I get a parade. So it's like, you know, so that's how I kind of feel about certain things. But no, it is a sign of respect. And it was a sign of respect on the island too. It's hard to process those things when you're out there. So,
mm-hmm. You know. I get it. You know, and as you're saying the Super Bowl thing, we were talking about it before. I'm a Lions fan, James is an Eagles fan, and I didn't want to say, I just hope that the tush push is going to go wrong one time. But, you know, that he's like, whatever advantage you can get, I'm not going to say I don't want anything. You know, I'm just getting a little scared of what that Eagles offense looks like. So that's how I feel.
I like a nice fourth and third and one. Like, I like those odds in my favor. You know, hey, that's how it works.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, how are you feeling about 47? I was so pumped to get you on because you are vocal over there on X, and you are telling everybody how you feel, and it's you go against the grain a lot, and I like that. So what's going on?
All right, so I don't really know what the grain is. Like, I feel like when that was my season, I found out about Reddit, I got on, and like I kind of like I got into Twitter super late, like week like after my vote. I'm like, oh shoot, like this is whole. Like, I didn't even know about the Survivor community on Twitter, on Reddit, all that stuff when I was playing. So it's like, I don't know what the consensus is. I just kind of just tweet what I'm thinking when I look at it. And then people typically disagree, or you have people who like to go debate back and forth. But typically the debates are like pretty fun and respectful, which I truly just enjoy because I just like Survivor as a game just from a social strategy standpoint, just playing chess, thinking about moves and like, okay, like what makes sense here and maybe what do I see compared to somebody that may not be on the island or just what am I seeing in general where other people can pick up on things that I'm not noticing too.
Yeah. And the biggest one, cause we were all having the discussion and I was like, no, James, no. It was the Genevieve move to get rid of Saul. And you were very much like, no, like this is where it makes sense. So how do you feel now that that we're further removed? Is it just hindsight 2020 and you still felt like it was a good move or what?
Well, I still think it was a good move. I feel like the thing about Survivor that's tough and like the hardest thing to do is understand the dynamics after a vote when you hit back the beach. Mm-hmm. Like you can have everything together when you make a vote and you want to really like, you know, when I tried to make it so that, okay, I'm trying to have who are our targets lined up, who's my voting coalition and what does my alliance look like moving forward for the next vote and the next vote. And I think the hard part is when you come back where you come back to camp and now the dynamics have completely switched, right? Where you're trying to control and keep everything, the dynamics as cool as possible, but Saul was such a person that I feel like because you didn't know how connected he was or what the show is showing, it had a lot more ripple effects than you may not anticipate it with him going home. And sometimes when you're playing the game, you may have a show to somebody you're playing with that's taking heat off you that you may not know it. But I still think it's a good vote, one, because he targeted her early in the game and you don't get chances to take out players like Saul often because he's a player that wasn't seen as a super big threat, but he was capable enough with situations to navigate. And I think maybe the mistake or possible mistake is not figuring out, okay, where's my next five for this next vote at four? So we know we need five here. Is my five to vote out here at nine going to be my same five to vote out here at eight? And how can I navigate that? And I think that may be the part where you, at that point, you may have to just stick with your 5-5 and try to keep that as coherent together. And maybe that's the kind of thing. But I think if someone puts your name down on parchment, you got to take them out. And I just talked for a long time, but I'm a firm believer in that. Like, there's no take back season on that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a couple points in there that I want to talk about. But one thing that I want to bring up is Genevieve had the confessional in the next episode where she said she was trying to keep everybody at arm's length. And she was trying to not make really close relationships with them. So for her, she was seeing it as, I'm only really burning Teeny because she's the only one who feels like there's a personal relationship here. But I think what Genevieve underestimated with the move, and kind of goes into what you're saying with who's my next five, who's my next four. What I think she underestimated with that move is, even though she might not feel like she's getting too personal with these people, those people might feel that Genevieve is getting really personal with them. And if that's the perception, they're going to be super hurt by that. And that can be hard, right? Like, if you're a really big personality, positive personality, you might not even realize that you're getting as close to these people as they've had in the last 20 days.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you never know, like, how people are really processing the game until when you're outside of the game. Like, how personally are they really attached to you? Like, how much of this is really a business thing? Like, is this relationship, like, as good as I think it is on this island when we're bonding? I think that's questions that everybody kind of goes through when you're out there, and it does make it tough. And I think in Genevieve's case, I feel like it's tough for her because after this move was made, she was pinned to be like this super big player. But at the same time, that's a narrative where someone has to go home and everybody voted. So I'm the person that made the move happen when it was a landslide vote with only two people left out, but I'm getting the credit for it. And at that point, I feel like it's tough there, but that's the tough place to navigate at the beginning of the merge. But at the same time, it wasn't just her vote. Like, it was kind of, she went to Gabe. Gabe had the power. So technically it was like someone got the idea, but who has the people? Mm-hmm. And it's hard for people when you're out there to look past the people or they look at the idea or the person that's the spearhead. And yeah, so I think the move was still good. I mean, you had to take a person writing your name down. I think figuring out your five afterwards is the tough part, but you had five making that vote, and trying to keep those five together may have been your best option.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that she can get her footing? God, what am I saying? Do you think she can get her footing back under her, or do you think she's doomed? Because people last week, it was Genevieve or Kyle. They end up going Kyle. So Genevieve gets to breathe a little bit longer. Do you think she's going to need an advantage or a twist, or do you think that she can actually salvage something here?
I think Genevieve is like an artificially kind of like is getting caught up in the big target move. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, I think it's like, okay, so you look at votes after the merge or whatever like that. It's kind of like, who actually has, people want to play this game now more so than any other time before. So you have to think about when has a player actually put their dial and made a move?
Yeah.
Right. And when players don't have agency, eventually they want to have agency. And look at a player like a Sam, look at a player like a Teeny, look at a player like an Andy, Rachel to a certain extent, right, where Genevieve brought her in, but it wasn't necessarily a Rachel-driven move where players actually want to make moves. When you have so many players on the opposite side of kind of low influence, meaning like they're part of the decision, but they're not the driving force. So you have a Caroline and a Sue. Right, Caroline necessarily was not driving decisions for Tuca, so she may have had different ideas that weren't really getting formulated. She wants to make a move. You have Sam wants to make a move. Clearly wants to make a move. Teeny hasn't been as influential in the decision making. They want to all put things on their resume as opposed to probably happy to be with Prince Genevieve, who has done moves and has been spread a move in a very tough situation. And you know, that's kind of the lions and hyenas. Tony said it in Winners. Yeah. Like, once you're labeled a player, you have to keep as many players with similar threat level or similar kind of whatever around you. And that's tough because sometimes they're good enough to get you out of the game too. And that's the issue that you run into. So, you know, it's tough. Hoping she can pull through. I think it's going to be tough because you have a five that voted together. And it makes no sense for that five not to vote together again.
It makes no sense for that five to let Genevieve back in. I think that's really the biggest thing, right? Like, you're all going to have to turn on each other at some point. There's going to be fighting in there to see who's actually the group of three inside of this five-person alliance and all of that. But at the end of the day, you're down to seven. You would think that, let's get rid of Genevieve. We've brought her name up now two tribals in a row. What's funny is you bring up the Saul vote. Caroline couldn't vote. Sue gets a vote, and it's from Saul. Every single other person voted for Saul, and Genevieve comes out of this because I think Gabe, who ends up going home next, even though it didn't work for him, he did a good thing here where he kept saying, that was Genevieve's move. That was Genevieve's move.
But I think that's the one part about Gabe's move that I think Gabe now needed a new shield, right? Where Gabe, like, I look at Gabe where he came in, he had numbers coming in, people that were loyal to him. And when you're in that position, you need as many shields as possible. So I think at that point, Genevieve at that point may have been a better ally where you didn't really work against each other, right? And you are viewed similarly as, you know, bigger threats. At that point, I think you have to then say, okay, Kyle is my shield guy here. Genevieve's my shield here. Okay, maybe I can pivot. I keep these two shields. Because the longer those people stay in the game as viable targets, the longer you stay in the game. Mm-hmm. And when you kind of target another person that's similar to you from a threat level, everybody else who isn't at that threat level or hasn't been as influential is going to just pounce on that move.
Yeah.
Leaving you isolated.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now, and you were talking a lot about challenge threats and things like that, and how you don't feel like on the island people are looking at it maybe as much as the people in the community are. But we do see the biggest challenge threats in the game, which are Gabe and Kyle, go home before Genevieve. And last week, the conversation was Andy saying, no, we should vote out Genevieve because she is a strategic threat. Kyle is just playing one type of game. He's not going to win. But ultimately, everybody went against it. So, and votes out Kyle. What is it that makes you think that even though us as an audience might be overplaying how important a challenge beast is, why do you think that this group decided Kyle was the more important person to boot?
I think it was the fact that Kyle was looked at as a move, meaning like if you get Kyle at the game, I don't think anybody was tightly aligned with Kyle on that side. At the same time, where he was kind of just a dead man walking, just the fact that, you know, he was, quote unquote, the immunity threat. But that's something that's a narrative that's built up by people who, quote unquote, don't seem like obvious immunity threats. Because everything in Survivor is a narrative, thanks to the great Kim Spratling. Like, yeah. You want to, like, you're trying to create the narratives on the island. Like, so if you're a bigger person, you may want to say, hey, the puzzles are where it's at. And that person, you're trying to create the aura of threat. Because if you are kind of athletic person and they're looking at kind of the athletic people as threats, not looking at any part of the game, then you have to kind of look around. I think someone that's done a good job is Sam. Mm-hmm. And like, we're kind of on accident with Sierra going home. He kind of was like a wounded person where his threat level kind of just dropped down to the Brock bottle. Now, I feel like his agency dropped a little bit too, but that's good at the beginning of Merge because you had all these threats in front of you, and for some reason, Sam was able to creep under the radar after trying to blow up the vote with Rachel. So, like, mm-hmm. That's good. That's good, because that would be scary to me if I was a player. Like, wait, hold up. You did this, and you – so it's the things that are happening here that there are some good things happening from the relationship side, and I think people wanted to make a move, and I think Kyle was that move, and I think people could get the sense that Genevieve didn't have anybody. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a twofer in my head where you're like, wait, we can get the five here. We can get the seven. We can get the six with five and be in a solid, kind of solid place. I feel like within that group, everybody feels like they could beat each other. No mm-hmm. one there has a signature move. So it's kind of like you're starting on a fresh try with a five-two advantage going in the seven.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a hard thing to give up for sure. And you kind of read my mind because my question was going to be about Sam. He's huge. Like, I know he hasn't been that good at the immunity challenges, but the guy is an athletic guy. And so Gabe goes, Kyle goes. Sam's name hasn't come up at all. And do you think that is just because his agency dropped so much that people are just saying, not worried about Sam right now?
I mean, who is Sam's number one? I feel like sometimes you have, like, when you have numbers and you are kind of good, right? It's like, you don't, like, it's good to be good with no numbers. But if you have numbers in good, that just, like, you want, like, it's kind of tough. Like, if you had to just poll everybody, Gabe versus Sue, from a strategy standpoint, from a threat level, they would choose Gabe as more threatening. If you said choose a Gabe and a Caroline, they would choose Gabe as more threatening. So now within your alliance, the switches where loyalty is like, okay, who do I want to sit next to who's more threatening? Now having people that are loyal to you that people feel you're better than is bad. Like, at some point that just happens in the game. And when it does, you have to figure that out and make that switch. Clearly, I didn't know how to make that switch. And it's a very tough thing to do because you're wired as people are coming at you. And so you're trying to deflect, you know, different things. And Gabe was in a situation, I think Genevieve's in the same situation, where I feel like anybody can get out of anything in Survivor. But I feel like at this point, you have five that voted together and you need four for a majority. And Rachel has the idol. Sue's not going anywhere if she feels uncomfortable. And I don't think anybody's targeting Sue. So it's kind of just like, people can really see the end game. If you're like Rachel with an idol and a block of vote, and you have like you can see the end game and you're like, okay, I can get to the end. And now your story starts where, okay, you start at seven, but you still have a lot of jurors here. There's more jurors in the game than out the game. And that's what people have to realize too, where, okay, you got the first three. That's great. These last four are crucial.
Yeah. And that's what Marianne did. That's how Marianne won the game. She started making her moves mid merge and that was enough. And I think that's why for Rachel, you know, maybe try to find your moment where Genevieve can be your move because you have all the power. She doesn't know about Sue's idol. I think Caroline's still the only one who knows about Sue's idol, but nobody knows about her idol. And she's told a couple people about the block of vote, which does have people maybe feeling good about their relationship with Rachel. They don't realize, though, that if they try to use that block of vote against her, she's going to get up, she's going to play her idol, and she's going to send one of them home. She has the power to make the moves where if she's sitting there saying, all five of us are on a level playing field. Nobody, I can play and beat any of them right now, but they could beat me. She also knows I have all the ammunition. So I can take the shots and I'm going to position myself because Caroline can't do that. Teeny can't do that. Sue can, but that's where we're standing right now. And Andy, I don't really think can either because he doesn't have the ammo either.
I mean, and that's kind of what it comes down to. Because it comes down to numbers. Right, and it's who you like, who's a threat, all this other stuff. But at the same time, you have to play the game and hopefully get to the end. And numbers are great. Like, the number, you have to add the numbers. And it's kind of like, it's tough in this game where you want to, like, kind of have no blood on your hands kind of early merge and hopefully make it through without having agency. And then you have agency from, like, eight or seven on. I feel like that's kind of the mantra, unless you can form your five or four people to get to the end. And I think there was a possibility. If you had a Genevieve, a Kyle, and a Sue lock in, even though Sue hated Kyle, I think that was a four that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, like for everybody where, you know, so that's kind of where it's at. I mean, to craft a perfect final three or final four with fire making is tough. And it's kind of like you got five people. I like those odds, but people like better odds than Survivor. So that's what makes the game exciting.
Yeah. And so, you know, we saw people play with Rome earlier in the season who weren't big fans of Rome, who knew he was chaos and all of that. Sue looked like she just could not be around Kyle at all. Didn't like him. Didn't want to be near him. Like, had problems with him, all of that. And I think you're right. I think it would have been in her best interest to actually play the game with Kyle. I think the further she goes with Kyle, I do think that there was an alliance to be had there with maybe Sue, Kyle, Genevieve, Sam, and Caroline, where like Sue could be the person who gets the votes at the end.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Who's the safest person right now?
Oh man, that's going to be our power rankings. It's Sue though. She's not going anywhere.
It's good to be I think everybody's like, I don't want to be on the bottom and be on. I think this season has been an expert class of the bottom is this figment thing. And it's just really one vote. And when you're there, it's not that bad. Like, as bad as it seems, look at Andy. Andy was at the bottom of all bottom. And it's like, there's this thing about, I think, being at the bottom and it being necessarily a bad thing, where the bottom, like I said before, the bottom is floor four and the top is floor six. It's really two flights, and it can switch very quickly. Like, it's not that big a deal. And being at the bottom, you're getting less heat, and you're not getting as much heat for vote out.
Yeah,
which people like to say there aren't bitter juries, but people remember who's responsible for voting them out and who's told the bigger lies to them while they're running around the door. And that does matter.
Yeah. And you can't tell me, like, whether it's bitter or not, Sierra's not voting for Andy. Like, so it doesn't matter if she's bitter about it or not. She's not going to vote for him. Like, whatever her reason is, it's not going
to
happen.
Or his burden to win has to be a lot higher, where it's kind of like, I carried you here. I saved you here. You're just going to blindside me, not give me a heads up. You know, like, okay, now I'm not going to give you a heads up. And you can't get, and you can say, oh, they're bitter. No, like, Survivor is a game of relationships, right? So you can't just, I think a lot of times people get on there and say, hey, yeah. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Like, if you blindside your ally and don't give them a heads up, or at least to, like, one a thumping, and then you expect them to give you $1 million at the end, you have to play an overwhelmingly good game, right? Because that's what it's going to take, contrary to everybody's belief.
Yeah. Yeah, and since you asked me, and I said I put Sue at number one, safest in my power rankings, I'll just kind of explain that, why I put her over Rachel. My main reason is kind of what I said earlier, but like the reverse. So I know that makes no sense, but here's what I'll say about this. You just said with Rachel, you know, she's got the block of vote, she's got the idol, and then I was talking about she shared the block of vote with a lot of people. So if people try to use that against her, they don't know about her idol. So it feels like they've bonded with her, but then she has the idol that she can pull out to save whoever she wants. Also, we got the confessional last week of Sue saying that she could potentially play the idol for, like, not necessarily play the idol for Rachel, but loves Rachel, pretty much feels like she replaced Caroline. My reason for putting Sue, though, still above Rachel in my power rankings, despite Rachel having everything, is we've heard numerous people say how dangerous Rachel is. And if the block of vote is what she's trying to use, and this group of players who have been very sneaky, who have been very quiet, who have been able to keep their cards pretty close to their chest, I am impressed with how little they share with each other. If they can pull it on her and not let her realize she needs to play her idol, she could go, and she would be targeted. Rachel is somebody that if Genevieve knows she's going out, Genevieve can make a last-ditch effort, play an idol or something, and try to get Rachel out of the game. She's not voting for Sue. Nobody's voting for Sue. I would be floored if Sue goes home in this episode.
I mean, and that's kind of, you have to kind of think about that with groups in your end game. If you have somebody that's like guaranteed to make it to the end, or maybe that person's part of your end game goal where you get the four, you send them to fire making, or you bring them to, like what's going through people's minds is very interesting. And some people are thinking, I'm trying to have a manicure final 4-3. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm thinking if you have a majority 4 at this point, that's all you really technically need. And the question is, who is in that 4? And you had that 5, and within that 5, who's in there? And Sue wasn't in there. So you're thinking about spots. And where do you sit with regards to spots? Like right now, I feel like that group of 5 should pick up somebody internally. And I think it could be even a Caroline. Mm-hmm. It could be a Caroline too. Whereas like we only need 4, you know, Genevieve is going to be there to take out whenever you're not, you know? So I'm fascinated to see what happens. I think for me, I like simple what's happening within this 5, or like, it really could be 6-1. But the question is, after that vote, who's that next 4, and does that 4 strike early? And that's kind of what you have to do here at 8, where if you have a distraction, then you can get somebody else out, and you're smooth sailing the 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Yeah, and as you bring this up, we're for our patrons, we've been rewatching older seasons, and so we did Guatemala not too long ago. So Danny Boatwright's fresh on the brain, but that's what she did, right? Like, she went through, got to 7, knew she was the last one standing from that alliance. But then it was like, okay, well, now you guys kind of need me. What do you want to do? And I feel like that could be Sam here. If Genevieve does go, that could be Sam. But if they get lazy with it, and lazy might be the wrong word, but if they say, you know what, let's get rid of one of our own. Well, now Genevieve can be the person who says, okay, you all let me stay a little bit. How's everybody doing? Remember, I'm really social. You guys all really liked me until the Saul vote. let's get back together. And there could be people who say, let's do it. And maybe they don't feel that Genevieve has a chance to win the game, even though I do. Maybe they don't feel she has a chance to win the game if she gets to the end because she was, you know, cut at the knees for so long.
I mean, there could be people that think Genevieve doesn't have a chance because if Teenie, say Teenie's on the jury, mm-hmm. and you have Saul on the jury, and Teenie's well-liked, and it's like there's a lot of things that could happen out here. And that, for me, that makes Survivor fun. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just those permutations. But for me, I just feel like the people at the bottom, at quote-unquote bottom, who didn't have as much agency at the beginning, you have too many of those people that can coalesce together where it just makes sense where I didn't have any agency on these votes. Now I can have agency over a vote with somebody that possibly but I do think there's a chance that a Caroline can come in. That's why I think Sam's game is just kind of crazy. He's kind of just like slipping under there, under the radar. And it's kind of like, oh, I'm still here. It's like, and it's interesting strategy. It's almost kind of like you defang yourself. Like kind of yeah. Q got rid of Tiffany and Kenzie as allies, right? So then you kind of become this like person that becomes a solid vote and kind of target vote person. And that's a good place to be right now when you still have limited amount of people and now threats are going to emerge with people having agency with this vote. So I think if Sam can kind of be low key here, kind of get to that sixth level, get an immunity, I think there's a path forward for him to kind of go really deep.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I feel like because Sam's name hasn't been coming up, but I want to talk about the agency thing. Caroline has had numerous confessionals now in the last couple of weeks where she is saying, I don't want to let that person keep going because they played a better game than me and they can beat me. And she has been very open about who she thinks has played a better game than her to us as an audience. She has been saying that in confessional. So she has nothing to gain by saying that to a producer. Like, she's everything to gain, you know, if she's trying to work the other players out there. But this is just her being totally honest. So we have seen that. Maybe Caroline's the type of person who says, okay, I could keep riding with this alliance over here, or I can be the one who makes the move, jump ship, is willing to work with Sam and Genevieve, and is willing to vote somebody like Rachel out of the game, who I think is the front runner right now. That could be a massive move. And now all of a sudden Caroline is up there as somebody who's a threat, but because there's so many threats still in the game, Caroline makes her one move, but are you still saying Caroline's a bigger threat than Genevieve? That's kind of like a 50-50 coin flip. So it might be a good time.
And I think let's just say you have, let's just experiment with a Rachel vote where you have a Caroline, maybe a Sam, Teeny, Andy. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Rachel's kind of insulated when you have a Sam and a Andy who need allies, and she is an ally, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like letting Gata have still at three and taking Tuku down to two was, I think Gata must have did a great job kind of like being separate. And I think they are separate just by the way they played the game naturally, more naturally than Tuku. But I feel like that separate three is still pretty dangerous. And sometimes you're like, be worried about the numbers and the tries, but it's Survivor. And once you get over the merge and it's four Tuku, so what? They're going to flip on each other. Like, just like the read before. Like, you just want to be in that sweet spot where you can take advantage of that flip and let other people have power. Like, you want to have power security throughout the game, and the toughest thing is to not have it. But I think not having it allows you to go deep and win this game.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And it's all about the timing. And I think especially in the new era, timing is the most important thing, right? Like, when are you willing to you for a certain point, maybe it's okay to not have the power, not have the security, but at what point do you have to be like, okay, this is the time? And we saw in the preview, Genevieve trying to work some stuff. I think a Genevieve, Andy, Sam, Caroline vote on Rachel could 100% happen this week. But what it comes down to is, does Caroline try to bring Sue in? And does Sue, who last week is telling us that she really respects Rachel and wants to work with Rachel, tell Rachel potentially, Rachel has her idol and Rachel is safe? Now, that might be getting way too detailed, but I could see that group of four voting for Rachel. And then it just comes down to, how does Rachel find out she's getting the votes?
I mean, is that too? But then also, I feel like it's tough now with the Caroline, I feel like people also perceive that she is a smart, like she doesn't come up as like slower or aloof. Mm-hmm. So like, I feel like she has a default threat level that people probably just never communicate about from a confessional standpoint. But people know she knows what the fuck she's doing. She mm-hmm. got in on his last vote. She already flipped on her people, flipped on Sue. So you have a Genevieve and you have a Caroline who both flipped on their quote unquote, you know, number whatever. Even though, mm-hmm. let's give Genevieve some credit. She was clearly the three in that Salentini thing. So like, let's just hold mm-hmm. hold our horses there.
Yeah, right.
You know, like when people are like clearly the three, we always tell them to vote out the other person, right? So let's just hold off a little bit on the judgment, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be fun. I mean, I think Rachel's way too insulated. You know, I feel like Sam and Andy need her just enough where they're like, I don't know if does Sam have a path forward without a Rachel? Like, mm-hmm. does he see one, right? Does Andy see a path forward without a Rachel? Maybe he does, but is Andy as close with Sue? And it's like, where's this four at, right? And I think Rachel's at the center or close to the center of all the fours. And you mm-hmm. kind of look at what four combinations you have out there and who's the furthest from those. And yeah. I think Sue's in the middle of all the fours too, because mm-hmm. she has terrible. Like, so it's kind of like you have those two people in the middle of all the fours and then everybody else.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it. So we only have seven people to rank, but let's rank them. So you made me go first. You made me put Sue at one. You told me, you know, you made me spoil it. Who do you have as number one then? Are you going the same boat?
I say if we're talking just pure safety, mm-hmm. I'm going Stu. We're talking who I think has the best path forward, I'm going to go Rachel.
Gotcha. Yeah. So we'll go safety for now, and then we'll get into it. But like, so for Sue, what's your reasoning that there's no way Sue goes home this week?
I just don't think Sue is going to be targeted. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like people now can look at Sue as somebody that they possibly could be at the end. And also someone that says, sometimes being on the wrong side of the vote is good. So mm-hmm. the fact that she's on the wrong side of the vote, she was loyal. So I proved my loyalty. So it's a good thing to prove your loyalty out there. Like sometimes it's good to be on the wrong side of the vote and have your ally go home. Getting blindsided isn't bad, right? People get it. I think that's getting blindsided going home is bad. But getting mm-hmm. blindsided staying, you can pitch that was, hey, you told me, y'all all told me this. I trusted y'all. Y'all told me this was the vote. You lied to me. And I was loyal to the people. Now I can offer that loyalty. And people can respect that when you follow through with it. Now, if Sue would have got on the vote and voted Kyle out, what would her credibility have been then? Mm-hmm. It would have been a little lower. So I think Sue is sitting pretty, especially for this vote, where Sue is a rock solid. I have not lied yet heavily in this game. And you can count on my vote, whoever I'm working with. And I think that has staying power. A lot, it's Gabler-esque almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when you're talking about the blindside situation too, like we've had it happen to Sue and now Sue's name doesn't come up after. We had it happen to Sam and Sam's name doesn't come up after. Like you said, being blindsided and being the one who goes home, that sucks. Being blindsided and being the one who stays isn't so bad. Rachel was blindsided episode mm-hmm. 4 or 5 of this season, whichever episode Annika went home, mm-hmm. Rachel was blindsided. And now, Rachel, you and I are in agreement, has the clearest path to final three into winning this game.
It's kind of one of those things where, like, I feel like being blindsided or having low agency but making it through is a superpower right now in New Era. Mm-hmm. Where because the superpowers are always going to fight. And it's like the superpowers fight, and then there's always, like, this third-party power that comes in and takes over. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what happens in Survivor, except for, you know, the week before, where you have people that kind of stuck together. You have these superpowers that end up fighting, that they have to figure out who's the best person. And there's always this third person or faction that comes up and just wins. And, you know, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, it seems to be the case. So that was kind of like Kenzie last season. It felt like Kenzie was always just kind of skating by, hanging out underneath, you know, hiding from everybody. And it worked.
I love the Kenzie win because, like, Survivor's about relationships, first and foremost, right? And when you let people stay in the game that aren't creating votes, right? It's like people like them. It's like they get to have authentic conversations with people. Because when you're talking to somebody that's low agency, it's like they can't vote me out. They're not sending me home. Like you're doing them a favor for the most part in your head, right? So like they're getting mad information, they're building, they're able to bond, they're not talking as much game and strategy. It's a very interesting thing to think about where you're able to build those bonds, a la Gabler, who no one can say, yeah, he was sitting there just pulse on making votes, but he knew what was happening in the game and was able to build genuine real relationships, and those allow him to view the game with the correct lens to communicate with the jury.
That's a good point. So who would you put as the second safest behind Sue?
Second safest. I say Teeny.
Teeny. What are you thinking about Teeny's prospects? I feel like we've talked about for 35 minutes now. We've talked about so much of this cast. I think you might have mentioned Teeny once. Because Teeny hasn't had agency. We talked a lot about agency. Teeny hasn't had any. What are you thinking about her chances?
I feel like her chances to go far are good. From a winner standpoint, I feel like there needs to be kind of a move or a reveal about your game or communication about your game at the end for her to win. And it's no fact of their own. I think the one thing people have to understand too, when you're like people in the jury know who was making the moves and who had AC, who didn't. So they know if you like where Sandra went, they knew Sandra was pushing these votes that y'all weren't doing. So you can't get back there and get mad at that person who told you what was happening. And I think Teeny also has the argument to say, hey, I want to do these things. You didn't want to do these things, you know, and you could have voted me out at any point, you know, and everybody loves me. And it's kind of like you chose not to. But I feel like there could be a little bit of lane there, but you have to give props to someone that doesn't have the agency or is trying to get the agency to continue to be blindsided. But you can see she's building great relationships.
Yeah.
Where it's like now from a relationship standpoint, I don't think anybody wants to see TD go. I feel like no one views her as that big of a threat, but I feel like just like every player in New Era, she's good enough and smart enough at the game to recognize what she needs to do when it's time, if that situation arises.
Yeah. And I'm just hoping that a moment comes, because I feel like right now it's just been kind of like Teeny's here, Teeny's here, Teeny's here. And in the last episode, it looked like Andy, Teeny, Rachel were going to be the final three, right? Like that was the group of three that was brought up first. Then we heard about Caroline and Sue. Caroline and Sue come in. Here's your alliance of five. But it was definitely set up as Teeny, Rachel, and Andy. Teeny, Rachel, and Andy, I don't see Teeny winning in that final three if the game plays out that simply. But if Teeny can make something happen, she can beat any of those five people or any of those other four people. But something needs to happen, I think. But to go this week, what would have to happen for Teeny to go home this week?
I feel like she would have to really try to take like a shot. Mm-hmm. And then Genevieve wins immunity. Teeny does something to make someone just be on a warpath. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, let's take Teeny out. Because if Genevieve, let's pop it up. Say if Genevieve wins immunity, I feel like that's like, okay, let's take out possible Sam. And we still have our four going. Like, I feel like, but if Genevieve doesn't win immunity, I feel like if someone going to make a move. And I think here's the thing, the problem, where I think the person with the most agency doesn't want moves to be made at this point.
Yeah.
They want to just coast to the end. And that's where you want to be, where it's like, hey, I'm in a really good place right now. I want to keep things as status quo as possible. And do people that don't want to keep it status quo, can they make those moves to break it as status quo? Or do they know they need to? Like, are they aware of what's happening or the bigger picture? And that's the next game, but don't know. But I think Teeny's the second safest.
Yeah, I actually put Andy as the second safest, even ahead of Rachel. I said last week after the episode that I'd be shocked if Rachel doesn't win. I have Rachel at three, but I have Andy ahead of Rachel because I feel like based on what I'm seeing, Andy is making this finale. I would be shocked. Like, I feel like so much of the story has revolved around Andy, and I know that's edit, but we've been watching Andy the entire season. And then when I watch what's happening this week, I could see Andy overplaying potentially and trying to be the one who breaks rank and goes over to the other side. And while that might make people think, oh man, he's in danger, he could go home this week, I actually think that would be a way for everybody else to say, let's get rid of the person he tried to work with. Let's say Genevieve or Sam. Let's keep Andy. And now Andy looks like he's a backstabber. He's already got half the jury pissed off at him. Now he's a good guy to take the final three. You shoot your shot and you miss, you know, all the credit in the world for shooting the shot. But if you miss it, you can't be too mad when people are pissed off. So I think that Andy is either going to be really safe because he's with the side that has the numbers, or he's going to potentially try to flip things. But rather than people try to get rid of him because he's flipping things, they're almost going to use that as, who wouldn't want to sit next to Andy now? Let's get rid of Genevieve because she's a threat to beat me. Andy's not.
Right. And I think it's tough to reevaluate quote unquote threat and whatever. There has to be a winner, right? Yeah. So everybody's a threat to win. So like, that's like one of those things in my head that drops. Like everybody is good. Everybody for the most part is articulate. Like there's nobody that's hopping on the island that's watched like zero episodes that doesn't understand like what they have to do, or doesn't understand the assignment. And that's tough to play against because you want to have people that are, you know, loyal and let's do this together 3-4 deep, but we haven't had any experience of that in a new era. You know, but it makes sense, but you just haven't had it. People are so superly so interested, which makes the game very tough, but interesting for people viewing.
Yeah, it really, like 45 was probably the closest we had to it, where almost everybody at the final seven was connected to each other in some way, because you had D and Austin, you had Drew and Drew and Austin. Yeah, and then it was Julie and D, and then D and Austin were going across those. You had Emily, who Drew and Austin felt like they were really close with. And so you had a lot of people at the end game of that season. That was really the only one, I feel like, in the new era. You could say the Tika three, but that's just three. That's not four or five deep. It's just three people.
And I think Jam Jam masterfully in the big move era showed so much restraint that game with information and communication that was just like a master class of let me just act like you're running stuff, even though information is key. And then I'll just have the information and make the subtle move where by the time you realize I have a majority of people, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And now you have your majority at seven solidified, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, your Chica three plus whoever they wanted to bring. Whatever you thought was in, whatever they wanted to bring with them, you know, they thought was there. So you have your number solidified. Here, yeah. I feel like you don't know where that is. But you have three goddesses right there, so maybe that's as simple as that. You never know.
Yeah, so like I said, Sue, Andy, Rachel, and we'll talk more about Rachel a little bit later. Who would you say is the third safest? You have Sue and then Teenie. Who do you have after that?
Sue, Teenie. I think Andy right here. I feel like no one's going to take this moment to kind of target Andy at this point, I don't think. Mm-hmm. This is what I feel like right now. If you're going to take out Andy, then it's like, why not take out Sam? Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Andy's winner chances? Because that's been, I feel like, the biggest talking point in the community is so many people are so sold that he's going to win this thing, or maybe it's Rachel now, but Andy has the second biggest chance. And what are you thinking about Andy right now?
I think Andy has a chance to win, but he still has to do something, right? Where you hear confessionals about Andy, this is better for my game. However, this person is going home with everybody he wants to do, right? So I still think Andy has to do something. And it probably will involve a betrayal for it to make sense, you know. So, what Andy does Andy have betrayal in him? Yes. The question is now: will someone allow Andy the space to make a move by giving him information that he can use to make his move? Yeah. And that is the kind of the question that we had. And the only person I think that's tight enough for him to do that is a Rachel. So, will Andy betray a Rachel? You know, and does Andy see a path to the end without a Rachel? And I don't think so. So I think he's interesting.
And if he does try to do it, maybe he does try to, you know, backstab Rachel here when he gets some information and he goes to the other side. But I could see somebody like Sam trying to, if Andy shares that information, I could see Sam going back to Rachel to try to work his way back in with her.
Sam is not a guy that's going to forget about Sierra. I like Vendetta Survivor. Like, I love that. I love you voted out my ally. I am taking you out. Yes. Let's bring more of this back. Where I mean, Sam C. Sierra and the jury, like, yo, y'all did that to me. Mm-hmm. Don't forget Andy. And it was it, Andy. We got you. Because you had to think in their mind, like, yo, we saved you. You would have been the first boot. We didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and okay, you gave us license to play the game. Like, you have given us license to backstab you. You know, so, and that's kind of how it is.
And not even just the first vote, but then Sam and Sierra went to bat for Andy to keep him in over Annika. They could have easily just made him the boot there. And then he repaid them by goodbye, Sierra. I mean, yeah, I could see Sam absolutely getting some information from Andy and saying, now I'll go back to Rachel. This is my way into that group of five. now all of a sudden Sam is the third with Teeny and Rachel rather than Andy.
But I think this group is smart enough to pick two targets, meaning this they're not going to – if they have the numbers to get somebody out next go round, I feel like they're going to take whoever else they don't have out this round. I feel like this group is super smart. They know exactly what they're doing. And the game is wide open. Like, I feel like the game is open, but I think Rachel right now, just because she's just sitting in the middle of everything, so I say Andy. I say Andy next. Okay, so yeah.
You had Andy at three. So you went Sue, Teeny, Andy. Who'd you put at four?
Rachel.
Yeah. So we have the same top four because I put Teeny at four. So it's like we have the same top four, just in a different order. But yeah, it's like these are the other three, or the three, one of those three is going to go home.
Like, if you're in, like, everybody in that final four is probably happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're Rachel in that final four, you may be happy. If you are Andy in that final four, it's a possibility that you're happy with it. Like, you feel like you're good. You feel like you have a chance. That's what I would think. If I'm Teeny, I may not have a chance, but right now, Andy hasn't done anything that's truly distinguished himself. Sue hasn't done anything to truly distinguish herself. Rachel has yet to do anything to truly distinguish herself, right? So if that four, that makes a lot of sense in this vote.
Yeah, and it's almost like we're watching, we know that Rachel has everything to win this war. She has all the ammo, she has all the allies, she has everything. But at the same time, the war hasn't begun yet. Like, we're sitting here with the assumption, I feel like you and I are under the same assumption of, like, Rachel feels like she's got the path. It's so clear what she needs to do. She's got everything. And a lot of people are starting to feel that way because that's what the audience is being told. But Rachel hasn't actually done anything in this game to this point to be the one who's the biggest threat. The edit is starting to make it seem like maybe she's the biggest threat. But what are we seeing?
That's the key. The key is what you just said. She has all the ammo. She is a big, quote unquote, big threat. But the question is, on the island, from the external island that everybody's seen, yes, she's smart. So is Caroline. So is Sam. Like they say, like that you know about Survivor. So does Teeny. Like, everybody is on this knowledge level, right? So then you're like, what things are people seeing? People are seeing the truthfulness in, I have an advantage. I'm communicating that to you. Kudos, cool points. I have an advantage for us to get to. She may burn it this go around. Great. We block Genevieve's vote. She goes home. I'm 100% loyal, whatever group she's in. She now is an idol, right? Like, I feel like it's just going to be interesting. And you have a four there where right now in the game it makes sense. And I think that's what holds true when you're looking in the game. Mm-hmm. Now, if everybody knew Rachel had, they would be trying to blindside her literally this vote. Oh, yeah. But they don't.
Yeah.
That's brilliant survivor play.
That's how you play. That's exactly right. I mean, because like part of me wanted to put Rachel as my four or five because I say if Genevieve wins immunity, maybe they start to look at her. But they don't know what she has, so I don't think that they're that threat. Like Genevieve and Caroline have both said we would vote Rachel out of this game. We have heard those confessionals. She's a threat. We don't want her to get too far. But at the same time, we heard Danny and Deshaun say that about Erica too. And Erica won, and Erica went through the end and went to the end of the game without having to win immunities and stuff. So I mean,
they tried to tank for being at the bottom of the majority alliance coming into a merge is great. And I thought it was going to be a Sue Teeny kind of Rachel-y type of final, and that's kind of where I thought it was. So coming in, so
yeah. All right, so we're into the bottom three. We both have the same bottom three. I'm wondering if we have the same order. Who would you put at five?
Caroline.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Okay, so we're going to end up with the same here, aren't we? What do you have at six?
Sam.
Yeah. Okay. And then Genevieve. Yeah. Why Caroline, though? Why do you feel like she is in the worst position out of the five who are in that alliance?
Because everybody is saying Caroline and Kyle got in on the vote. Mm-hmm. And that's not how majorities work. Like, they are Caroline and Kyle were not needed for that vote that they had. So it's kind of just like being on the right side of the vote is great, but the question is that your interest? And I think that may bite Caroline, because if Caroline tries to target the wrong person too soon, which may be okay, Genevieve's at the bottom, let's not get her out. I'm not going to target two. See, Teeny doesn't really threaten me. I'm threatened by Rachel. That gets back to Rachel. Rachel blocks Caroline's vote and gives Genevieve an out to say, let's just take out Caroline. And, you know, like, hey, is anybody not hopping on that bandwagon that wants to make it to the next round? It's like, who's Caroline's number two right now?
Yeah, it's Sue, but Sue. Oh, you mean so Sue is her number one. So who would be after that? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like I mean, if I'm Caroline, do I care about being on the right side of the vote, or do I want to be on the wrong side of her with Sue?
Yeah, you. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you know, like
what's
your vote? Like, what's the point of being on the right side of the vote that vote? But would I be better playing dumb?
Yeah,
or in voting with Sue. And then, like, because once you turn your back to your number one, you got to get them out the game. Like, this will keep your number one. Like, once you betray the person and they're going to be cool with you, it's like, nah.
Yeah.
Once you betray them, get them out. Do them like Carla did me. Carla's like, again, James is going to go? Well, you got to go. You can't just let that linger with your number one out there. They know too much. No, that's not going to happen. So, and why was Sue, what reason why Sue won Caroline out the game? Do you know a reason?
Well, because she voted out Gabe.
What's the other reason? Who knows about Sue's idol?
Caroline, yeah.
Who has Caroline not told? A soul. And if Caroline's not going to tell Sue because Caroline not targeting Sue. Mm-hmm. So why would Sue not want Caroline out?
Yeah. No, she should. And what's funny is about this whole situation, with the last two votes being Gabe and Kyle, I actually think Caroline was 100% right that those two needed to go in order for her to win the game. I do think she's right. I just don't think they needed to go at 9 and 8. Because I think that those were confident numbers for Caroline. They were never going to vote Caroline out of this game, not anytime soon. If she lets Gabe survive that final 9 vote and somebody else goes home there, now you can get rid of Gabe at final 8 because you can pull the numbers from other people and you can start to make it your game. And I do think that that's probably the mistake that Caroline made. And I think you're right. Multiple people should want Caroline out of the game right now. It's just a matter of like, you know, Will they see that or will she be the biggest fish to fry?
I mean, yeah, I think right now if it's kind of, we're looking at Genevieve and it's like, and you're having smart players looking at who's next. And it's like, okay, can we get to this end game? What makes the most sense? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it sounds bad, but Survivor's over at this point. Like it sounds really crazy to people like watching, oh my God, 7 people. No, the game is cooked. Like right now you lock it with your 4 and you say, what are you going to do? Like when we got to the 41. You know, you had Erica, you had Xander, you knew what was happening. Like, Deshaun, you know, whatever, do or die, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Like, it's going to be some semblance of who dominates this vote that's going to win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Sam, Genevieve, are you seeing it as if they don't go for Genevieve, they're just going to go for Sam? If Genevieve wins immunity, they go for Sam. Do you see a way Sam saves himself here?
I think they'd be cute and go for Caroline. If Sam, I feel like Sam is like the cute of this this group where he doesn't have as much. He doesn't have any agency, right? But there's no Marita, so it's kind of like Sam is good there, right? Sam is out front. He's not sneaky. He's not. So it's kind of like Sam is this guy where you can use it as a nice decoy, but you can always take out the next person. And he's a big threat that hasn't had an agency in the game. So from a game point of view, would you feel like, I mean, you dominate pre-merge, great, but no one cares about that. Like, so, like, is that somebody threatening to sit next to at the end? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as threatening of a person as, you know, maybe perceived.
Yeah, and I think really the only vote he's got locked up is Sierra. Other than that, I don't know if Sam gets a vote at the end. I think Sierra is probably all he's got.
I mean, maybe a Saul for the heads up, right? But at the same time, it's kind of just like, if Sam gets to the end, that means he did something to Andy, probably get to the end. If he's winning the end, that means Rachel's probably not sitting there. So he really came from the bottom to come up. But the question is, you know, like, I feel like he's just a distraction to, he's a person that people view as non-consequential from an agency vote standpoint, where who's his number one, right?
And
when you don't have that, it's kind of like, you're able to navigate the game as long as they allow you. And then when you kind of step out of line or when it's time, that's when they're going to get you. And that's the one thing. Yeah, let's give my guy Gaylor some credit. He never got out of line. He never was like, let me buck the trend and let me outsmart. Let me outdo Jesse. Let me go out here and try to out-strategize. He's like, nope. Y'all are going to take each other out. And I'm going to be able to pick the pieces up.
Yeah.
And I feel like Sam is in that Q position where he doesn't have the people right now. He's not a bad player. It's just that it's circumstances. And sometimes the cards in the game aren't in your favor, you know, where, and that's where I think it is with Sam.
Yeah. So out of everybody, I think I already know the answer, but we'll get into like the details here. Who do you think wins?
I'm giving it to Rachel right now. I feel like it's going to be tough, but I feel like she's going to be able to make it. If she makes it past fire, I feel like I think she can win. If they put her in the fire, I think, and she wins fire, I think she wins the game. I think there's a chance that she loses that fire, and then whoever beats her in fire may possibly win.
And that's what a lot of people are talking about, is that she's going to lose fire. Like, when you're watching this season, because now you probably watch it in a different light now that you've played on it and everything like that, who do you see as the next in line behind Rachel? Because I feel like that's where people are like, it could be Andy, it could be Caroline, it could be Teeny, it could be Sam. Can Genevieve get there? What are you seeing there?
I think it's possibly Sam. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, from a quote-unquote edit, we're seeing his perspective from the bottom a little bit, right? Also, I feel like Sam, like, he can win an immunity or two. He's not necessarily a bad player. And it's kind of like he's one of those players that if you let keep – he's not afraid to blow stuff up either. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those things where he's combustible. But I don't necessarily think that he – I don't think he's as threatening to them as the Andy is after this vote, if that makes sense, where it's kind of like, you know where Sam's coming from. He hasn't won immunity just yet. Even if he does win one, Andy's really – so I feel like he's in this insulated – or he can get the five like a Q did, and they're going to be like, okay, at five, we're going to get him out. And if he wins, then it's like, oh, shoot, now he's going to fire regardless. And you're like, oh, now he has his resume where, you know, he won at five, right? Goes to fire, wins fire, goes to the end, and he has the queen upon the roast to ruin them on, right? You know, so, and you have Saul there too, where Sam gave him the heads up, right? And
yeah.
Then he's going to be sitting against possibly a Teeny in a suit.
And if Rachel's over there, he could get Rachel. If Andy's over there, he could still get Andy. Like, there's a lot of votes there, maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like Sam is in that Q spot where it's something like where when you start taking out threats, that's why it's kind of like he can choose your threat. Like, you know, and I think he's in a good spot to where he wants to play hard, and he can play hard and get to the end and win.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, yeah, I've been struggling. I'm getting like tunnel vision on Rachel, and then beyond Rachel, I'm having a hard time. Normally I can be like, if it's not Rachel, it's this. Cause that's how I felt with Jesse on your season. I said, if it's not Jesse, it's going to be Gabler. People thought I was a psychopath for that, but I was like, no, it's Jesse, then Gabler, then Cass. That's how I felt as we got to the end. I felt like Carla and Owen, the edit was just kind of like roasting them over the fire a little bit. So I was like, it's one of those three. And that's the order I'd put it in right now. After I get past Rachel, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Rudy in that challenge in season one where he's just looking at the thing going, I don't know. I don't know. Like, that's how I feel after Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the okie doke, I feel like that's where a Sam can come in and be like, yeah, like where I think he can come in at the end and kind of just win immunity at five, you know, make five. Because, like, the key is, like, you're getting the four. Like, there's no votes after, like, there's only, what, with seven? Five, 7, 6, and 5, right? So after six, like, if you don't have that fifth vote locked up with two people, or like, what, like, you should have that thing, like, it should be zip line and sinker for that. You had 3 at 5. Whoever doesn't win immunity goes home, barring them having an idol. Like, that's how it literally should be. But we had two idols at play here, which is going to be a fun five if it makes it there. So, we'll just see how everything builds up. It's going to be great.
Yeah, and I could see both idols making it there for sure. All right, let's change topics here as we end it. I've been asking everybody this as we end since 50s on people's horizons. So from your season, if you could have one person come back and play again for season 50, they get the call. Who do you want it to be?
Me.
I love it. Why aren't enough people are not saying themselves?
What are you doing? What? If there's one, it's going to be me. Like, if there's one I would want to go back, it's me. I have a lot of reasons why. I feel like, now you didn't ask me, but, you know.
Give the pitch.
Like, huh?
Give me the pitch.
All right, my pitch. One, I feel like no one in the final three voted me out. Owen got his vote stolen, right? So technically no one in the final four voted me out. Like, that has to be a Survivor, like, something. I don't know. Where no one in the final four actually cast the vote to vote the person out of the game. I don't know if anywhere else has done that. Maybe they had. Maybe.
I don't know about somebody who made the merge, like, and it was actually sitting on the jury. Like, that's the biggest thing. If you make the merge and sit on the jury, normally somebody in the final four is voting you out of the game.
Correct. I don't think someone's made the merge, sit on the jury, and no one in the final four casted a vote for them to leave the game.
Mm-hmm.
First. Second, I don't think I was going home if it wasn't for that split tribal. Like, I just don't think I was going home. Point blank, period. Second, I played pretty hard, and
you know the game. You know the game too. That helps. I think that helps.
And I was well liked out there. Like, Noel said I was a social threat, but they didn't show any social game, which is fine. I'm sure they're selling, but I just feel like I just want another shot because I'm competitive. And I want to win. But yeah, I would choose me. But if I had to choose anybody else, I would have to say, truth be told, I say Mariah.
Okay.
And I feel like Mariah could be team.
Really?
Like, have you met Mariah?
No, like, I haven't.
Mariah could literally be teeny, where you can't not like Mariah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is her biggest strength, her biggest weakness. So at that point, she was going to be kind of like you saw in the game. Like, she's going to be a kind of an easy target. But if she makes it, she's good enough. She knows the game. Like, she's personable. Like, yeah.
Mariah, she had to win that first immunity, huh?
Yeah, Mariah would have been a dangerous player because you would have never seen her coming. Like, she's one like those players that you would never see coming, like the Jet, like the people, like the Jesse's, the Teenies. Like, if Teenie does like a cold-blooded move, like, I wish she could still hear, like, if Teenie would say Saul was still here and Teenie moved out Saul, or something like that. Like, those players are the players that scared the bejesus out of me. Yeah. Like, and I would love to play with Mariah, but I think Mariah was somebody I would love to have seen just really, really, really do her thing out there.
I like that answer because, you know, especially on your season, there's so many people who made it deep into the post-merge where people are like, oh, I want to see Jesse. I want to see Cody. I want to see Carla. I want to see Cass, Owen, like everybody. I'm a Gabler stan, man. I'm ready. Get Gabler back out there. I'd watch it. But like, I do feel like somebody like Mariah does kind of fall into that Aubrey situation, right? Of if you survive the first tribal council, if you don't have to go to tribal council, where does that take you? Where can you go? And we probably won't get that answer, but that's a fun answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's like sometimes people think, oh, you get voted off early, you're a bad Survivor player, or like you start off the game shaky. It's like some people hit the island and they're just like, good. They're like, okay, I'm out here. I plan for this. I prep for this. I was a Boy Scout. I don't care. Some people get out there and they're frazzled, and it takes 4 or 5 days to get to that point where they're not frazzled. But everybody's almost around the same game plan. Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what happens. And some people adapt faster than others. And some people get voted out before they get their sea legs in the game. And, you know, that's kind of what happens. I'm in favor of Redemption Island for the first three votes every season. But that's just me. Like, I just feel like the first three people out is arbitrary, whatever. Let them battle it out and come back in the game. Like, why not? That's what I think. That's just me.
I mean, Australian Survivor did an interesting twist on that in their 2018 season where, around, like, final 13, the next two people to get voted out competed against each other in a challenge, and the winner came back in. And, like, that was the first time I saw Redemption Island where I said, oh, I actually don't mind this because it's not just somebody sitting over there. And everybody knew it was coming. So when they were voting these people out, they knew they were going to Redemption Island. And I said, I kind of like that. Like, they know what's happening. They know what this twist is going to be.
I think I would like it to be a surprise the first time, but then afterwards, I feel like it will be something. Because for me, it's like the first boot is indicative of not that much. Like, I mean, you get on the island, you're put with six people, and sometimes you just like, it just happens. Like, you just don't, I mean, I would love to say I'm some great Survivor player, but like, no, I got a good group, you know, and I was able to put myself in the middle. But like, sometimes you just don't have that ability, and it's nothing that you can do. It's just, you know, you're the oldest. Like, you had to navigate things, and it's just tough. I was scared of the three tribes. You can't hide. and you really can't hide. And it's a very tough thing. I was paranoid, like, I don't know what. And I landed in a good spot, but I was scared. Scared.
Well, and then my last one for you is, in the whole history of Survivor, who's the person you'd want to see play on 50?
The whole history of Survivor.
This one can't be James. We already know you want to be there. We already got you from your season. So if you had to pick somebody else that you're like, you'd be like, damn, I want to see this person.
Let's see. It went, well, I believe this may come out of left field, but I want to say Earl, but I'm going to say Dreams.
Oh, okay. I like Dreams. I like Dreams as an answer.
I feel like it's a deep cut. I feel like he understood the game. He was cutthroat. I feel like he was athletic when he played, so I feel like he'll be physical. He'll be a physical threat. I feel like he's somebody that people remember at an iconic moment in the game. And I feel like that's an unexpected surprise, where I don't think he'll be, like, too old when this airs. So I feel like he'll still be in a good, like, you know, I think he was pretty young when he did it. So
I think he was only 21. I think I think he is pretty young. And what's interesting about him now is he's a coach, like a fitness coach or something like that. And he's a youth mentor. So, like, I feel like his life is in such a different place. I just looked him up on Instagram because I'd found him a while ago and I was like, what is this guy up to? And I just feel like he's in such a different place that I could see him, like, you know, really, really playing a different game and having some game.
Yeah, like, he may not go by Dreams anymore. He may go by what his government name is. Like, I feel like that's somebody from an old school era that I would love to kind of see play. That hasn't played again, you know, already before. Like, I feel like, yeah, that's kind of how I look at it, where I'm like, that's who I want to see.
Yeah.
Made the Dreams.
I like that answer. I do. All right. Anything else you want to say before we wrap this thing up?
I think it remains unsaid. It's the game. You're not like, don't like, I agree with killing players. You know, people out there watching, like, criticize your decisions, like, continue to do it, but just understand, like, just be thoughtful about it. Don't be kind of angry and vicious. I'm not talking to your Patreons. But in general, I say that whenever I'm on a podcast, it's fun. It's theoretical. Like, you know, good, like, moves are so arbitrary. Typically, the person is probably making a move based on the things that, you know, they know. And, you know, you have to give them credit for that. And
yeah,
it's tough to play this game. And yeah, I would love to see you guys try to play it. So
I appreciate you saying that. I always hate when people are so down and, like, ripping the people personally. It just drives me crazy. It's like, Just let it happen. It's just a game. It's not that big of a deal. Everybody's good afterwards. And if they're not good afterwards, you know, what are you going to do? So, well, James, always a pleasure. So glad to have had you on here. I'm glad we were able to get this done. Keep on tweeting during everything, because I appreciate the takes.
That's, like, the only time I really use Twitter, though. It's, like, really Survivor. Like, it's funny, but
I'm the same way. I do that and to bitch about the Lions or the Miami Hurricanes, which I had a lot of things to bitch about over this Thanksgiving weekend with the Hurricanes. So here we are. Right.
Cool beans. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man. So everybody else, like this video, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Right now we are doing a discount through the finale of this season. So if you're interested in trying it out for a discounted rate, head on over. New signups, I think it's 50% off for all new signups until the finale. So go ahead and head over to patreon.com/thespecialist. Everybody else, I'll see you on Wednesday night after the episode. I'll be back with Will. We'll be recapping episode number 12. Crazy to think only 3 episodes left of this season. Insane. James, thank you so much, and I'll see everybody later.